to Elevating Pikes Peak Women, a podcast production of Pikes Peak Women. I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace, and this podcast will be bringing you content relevant to the women of the Pikes Peak region in order to help them get engaged, get empowered, and make a difference in our community. Pikes Peak Women was established in 2011 in response to a need to address critical issues involving women, issues like pay equity, healthcare reform, women's rights, and social equity. Pikes Peak Women also provides forums where women can learn how to engage, become politically active, join local boards, take leadership positions, and run for office. We do this as an independent, nonpartisan organization in collaboration with other organizations whose missions support and strengthen ours. So let's dive right in. Hello. This is Mary Lou Makepeace, your host for the podcast, Elevating Pikes Peak Women. You've probably heard me say before that one of our goals of this podcast is to recognize women who are in doing great things in the community, and to also, through that, encourage women to step up, to express themselves, to run for office, takes all sorts of leadership in the community. Well, if you're like me, you've been watching some of the TV about what's happened in some county offices in terms of the county clerk. Steve Schleicher is our county clerk and recorder in El Paso County. And I had the delightful privilege to sit down with Steve for, I'm sure it was an hour or so, talking about what he's experiencing, what his staff is experiencing, what are some of the mechanisms that he has in place. So some of the stuff that has happened in other communities don't even have a chance of happening here. And I thought listeners would like to hear that, give me a sense anyway of calm that our elections can move forward, represent the voters and their vote. And we have a lovely podcast featuring him coming right up. So thank you for being here and thank you for listening to us. This is Mary Lou Makepeace, your host. Hello, this is Mary Lou Makepeace with Pikes Peak Women. And today we are varying a little bit because we typically have women on the podcast, but today we have a gentleman who is fulfilling a very important role in our community given the upcoming election, and that is Steve Schleicher, who's the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder. Welcome to the program.
Absolutely, Mary Lou. Thank you so much, and I'm honored to be with you here today.
Well, let's see if we can have some fun as well as
let's do it.
Sharing some good information. When exactly is the election?
So our upcoming November election is November 5th coming up. And Mary Lou, we are busy. We have a number of things that are going on, you know, as far as ballot certification. We have a lot of municipalities that are participating. And we also have a number of citizen initiatives that are going to be brought forth by the Secretary of State. So we are sitting here looking at is on Friday, September 20th, which is just right around the corner. My office is going to be mailing and transmitting all of our overseas military ballots to those folks. And the reason why they get extra time is because, you know, it takes a bit of time for the mail to get their ballots. And they also have a different deadline where we here in the community, our deadline is 7 p.m. on election night, November 5th. But our military overseas members are allowed 8 days after the election for their ballots to be received by the clerk
and recorder. And this is depending on the U.S. mail, U.S.
It
Postal
is.
Office?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of times, like right now, we ask those guys at the USPS to step up. But Mary Lou, I have developed an amazing relationship with not only our local, but our state USPS representatives. And as we gear up for the election, we have weekly meetings with them in regards to, you know, what do we need to do? How can we be better at the mailing addresses? A number of things. But our last election, we were at 99.7% of the ballots made it to the mailboxes.
Do we have a good return by the military population?
We do. In fact, usually we send out about 3,000 overseas, and they, you know, participate in things like that, and we get a pretty good return. But I am anticipating is we are probably also going to see a very large turnout of military members here on our bases, and I've been asked to show up mid-September to speak to our soldiers at the hub on Fort Carson, because even though they may still be registered in a different state, they can still get a federal ballot and participate in that election, or they, if they want to be registered. But historically, just listening to staff, is those soldiers will line up and stand out there and wait to vote in our VSPC on Fort Carson.
Setting an example for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Now, we get mail ballots, and that's, I'm trying to look back in my memory, that is fairly recent. What, about the last 8 or 10 years?
In 2013, we as citizens voted on that, Mary Lou. So, and what it was Governor Hickenlooper. There was, you know, a voting act in 2013 that we changed to all mail-in ballots, and it got rid of the polling places and things like that. And it's been going on for some time. It's been having some hiccups, but I tell you, it's absolutely, it's a process that has just really, really worked well.
Well, I personally like it. I like to be able to sit at my desk at home and contemplate how I'm going to cast my vote.
And a lot of voters say the exact same thing. And, you know, I as well, I sit there with the blue book and I want to educate myself and be informed. Or if I don't know who this candidate is, I just want to look on my iPad and look at their platform and, you know, and make an informed decision. But a lot of folks feel the same way, as they just love that ability to sit in their home and you know, vote on a couple races each night, then let's study a couple more the next night.
But not everybody feels that way, and some people still want to come to a place. So
right.
If for my neighbor who may feel that way, where is that place for voters in El Paso County?
So for our upcoming election, we're going to have 38 voter service polling centers, so in-person voting centers throughout the whole entire county. And I really, really appreciate a lot of our private property owners have opened up their spaces, their commercial spaces. We're opening in new places as well. Is we're going to have a VSPC just south of downtown in the Hillside neighborhood. You know, those citizens there have been asking for that ability for quite some time. So we're going to have a VSPC there. But there are a number of things, Mary Lou, that you can do at a voter service polling center. One of which is you can go there and vote in person. You can also go there to register to vote. So if you are one that's just, I got a lot of things going on, but I want to participate, you can register to vote here in Colorado all the way through Election Day. So they can also do that. And in addition to that, we will also have, if anybody has a disability of any kind, we have that equipment there to assist them to, you know, they too can vote as well.
Well, that's a pretty accommodating to voters in our county. And that's across the state, is it not? All of those?
It is.
Yes.
Yep.
But it's not across the nation. I mean, a lot of places, you don't have all those options, and you don't have mail-in and all that.
You know, Mary Lou, you're bringing up a really good point, is weekly I get phone calls from citizens, and they're talking about different states. They do it this way in Pennsylvania or this way in Iowa. But what a lot of people forget is if we go back to the birth of our country, is states' rights. Each state has their own constitution, their own laws, things like that. And, you know, and a lot of folks just view elections as that should be the same throughout the whole entire country, but they just, you know, they forget that we have states' rights.
Yeah. Little government lesson there for all of us.
Yep.
So we know when the election is, and when are those mail-in ballots going out?
So it's going to be a busy day, Friday, October 11th. Okay. Is we will be down at the Postal Service Center, the distribution center there on Fountain Boulevard. And we go down there, myself, my deputy, and my elections manager, right along with our vendor, who is the one that's responsible for printing and also getting them prepared to be mailed. But we are going to be dropping them in the mail on Friday, October 11th. In addition to that, though, Mary Lou, is I'm opening my office on Monday, September 23rd. So several weeks in advance, if folks just want to start participating, is on beginning Monday, September 23rd, voters can come to my office at the 1675 West Garden of the Gods. They can request their mail-in ballot at that time. We will print it for them. They can cast it there or take it home and, you know, vote at that time. And what that will do is it will cancel the ballot that's getting ready to be mailed. So there are several individuals in the community that really like to walk around and say, I've been the first one in the county that has voted.
Well, it sounds like you are very focused on customers, voters who,
yes, ma'am.
Because it can be kind of an intimidating process. So how long do people have, whether they get a ballot from you, go in and get one, or they get it in the mail? How long do they have to turn it in?
So the deadline for all ballots to be received is 7 p.m. on election night, November 5th. And I always, Mary Lou, you know, just emphasize, vote early. You don't want to be one of the ones that are stuck in the line and you don't meet that, you know, meet the deadline. For example, we had over 600 voters that dropped their ballots in our ballot boxes after the 7 p.m. deadline, and we could not accept those ballots because it was beyond the deadline. But again, it's 7 p.m. and I also will be working with the local media and the USPS, because you don't also want to drop your ballot in the mail on election day because we will not receive it. And so postmarks are not accepted as well. But I'll be working with our local media and be in the community all over the place as far as here's the deadline to put it in the mailbox to mail it back. Here's where you need to go ahead and deposit it in one of the 41 24/7 secure ballot drop boxes.
Well, let's talk about those.
Yeah.
You say the word secure and talk about that. How do you provide security? Because some of those ballot drop boxes are not remote locations, but kind of after dark, isolated locations.
In Maryland, absolutely, because we have some that is in Bear Creek Park. You know, we have some that are over in either in city or county parks. But what we have done in the last 20 months in my office is we have changed out all of the security system cameras. We have a new camera system now that actually is either electrical or solar, so I no longer need power to install a ballot drop box. The other thing that it does is it basically triggers any kind of activity, and it's also got night vision as well. So there are a number of things as far as upgrades, and I also am now able to store all video data for up to 10 years, which Colorado statute is 25 months. So El Paso County is far exceeding that. So with that being said, is to me, it was all about transparency as well, Mary Lou, because we're the only county in the state where we actually push those videos out to the citizens, where you can watch all 41 ballot boxes during a live election. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Mary Lou, it is.
And people come, they have to come to your office? Or
no,
where?
You can watch it right on your home phone. You can watch it right at, you know, just off your computer.
Uh-huh.
So you just go to my website and you just hit, you know, security cameras, and it will pull up a link and you can just tie into every single one. The media loves it because what they have the ability now is they look at what are the busiest ballot boxes the day before the election or on election day, and guess where they send their news crews? Yeah. So they're heading off to Library 21C or Garden of the Gods. But what it also does, it eliminates the discussion of ballot harvesting. Because if somebody says, hey, this person is ballot harvesting, well, now you have the tools at your fingertips. Prove it. Because now I'm providing all of this information, all of this, these tools for you to be able to sit there and support, you know, your case and things like that. Since installing the new cameras is prior to, we would receive core requests and it would cost thousands of dollars because we would have to get terabyte hard drives, staff time, county attorney time. Since installing the new cameras, we have received zero core requests.
Do you have incidents where you see people, I mean, if somebody wasn't aware of all of this security, who still try to, you know, violate the system somehow, or is it just impossible to do?
You know, so especially at the ballot boxes, is we have not seen anything, you know, whatsoever. There has been two instances over the last two elections where we did receive a ballot that was covered in blood.
And, blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we did receive a ballot that was covered in urine. So the thing is, though, is when we're sitting there looking at that, is we know exactly the ballot box it was deposited in, and now we just go back to that video footage, and we can actually go back to that moment when that individual deposited those into the ballot box. So we turn it over to the local law enforcement to investigate, and also over to the district attorney to do their job and see if there's a case there to prosecute.
Let me step away from our process, which it's very comforting to hear all of the safety things that you've installed. But I watch a lot of news channels, and I know some of the investigations that have gone on, particularly it seems in some of the southern states, mm-hmm. where it's not the citizens so much who are trying to impact the system, but it is staff. And there have been many more accusations, and they found staff guilty. But has your staff had any approaches with people trying to get them to do something not legal?
Mary Lou, to the best of my knowledge, no, ma'am. And, you know, one thing is my staff, we do background checks all the time, to include myself. In addition to that, is they are just amazing individuals where in the clerk and recorder's office here in El Paso County, partisanship's not allowed. Is the politics does not belong in the clerk and recorder's office. We look at ourselves as the baseball, you know, umpire. We're there to call the balls and strikes. And our job is to conduct a fair and safe and secure election. But Mary Lou, what a lot of folks forget about is it's not your clerk and recorder's office that conducts the election. It's our friends, our neighbors, and our family members that are stepping up to be bipartisan election judges. So they are the ones that actually coordinate the election. They are the ones processing the ballots, doing the signature verification, tabulating the votes. So for this election, we are hiring 800 election judges, and they all have to be equal. We have to have the equal number of Democrats. We have to have the equal number of Republicans and an equal number of unaffiliateds. So all of them collectively come together, and through the whole process, you cannot have a team of judges that's all Republicans. You have to have one Republican, one Democrat, and one unaffiliated. So that way they can sit there and go, hey, you know, wait a minute, what's going on? And it is a awesome, awesome process to watch, because even through signature verification, where if one judge says, I don't agree with this signature, we need to go ahead and reach out to this voter to come in, is for that ballot to move on, both the Republican and Democrat have to agree. So that is one thing that a lot of our citizens don't know, is it's actually citizen ran. It's our judges that actually are conducting the election.
I didn't know that. And I consider myself knowledgeable about elections and everything. What other, you told me when I was talking to you earlier about you had taken some preventive measures. You're contacting the Office of Emergency, what?
Emergency management.
Yes.
Yep.
And what will they do for you to enhance the safety of our ballots?
So, Mary Lou, thank you for asking that question. Is I am or have activated the Office of Emergency Management here in El Paso County for our upcoming election. And as we know, when you activate the OEM, it is a major decision, because what it means is every municipality here in El Paso County collectively comes together. So it's the town of Monument, Manitou Springs, Fountain, Colorado Springs, all of us collectively come together and we are coordinating as one. And the reason why I made this decision is for several reasons, one of which is there is a lot of anxiety and high emotions tied to our upcoming November 2024 election.
For sure.
And the other thing is, it's my job as the clerk and recorder to ensure a safe, fair, and secure election. And safe means that my staff, my judges, and the voters in El Paso County all should feel safe in casting their ballot. And so that is something that I am very sincere about, is no one should feel intimidated, or they could not go and do in-person voting, or they can't go to a particular ballot box that's by their home. So basically, having the OEM activate ensures exactly that, is every citizen is going to be safe and not feel intimidated, and they're able to cast their vote. The other thing it's going to do is, if there's any kind of situation, is the OEM is on it immediately. If somebody says any misinformation, and we know there's a lot of that out there, but some of the things we've seen in other states are people will call 911 and say there's an active shooter at such and such voting center, when there's not. And so what they want to do is basically have an influence over the election. So activating the OEM basically will defuse that misinformation, because not only is everybody in the county and our local media, we're all on the same page. And so we're communicating with one another the whole entire time.
Well, that really lends a sense of security to
absolutely
to a voter. Your position is an elected position, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And how long have you had the office?
So I'm in my 20th month. So I've been under the desk in a fetal position, Mary Lou. So I just came out.
Well, it sounds like you've had to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Or anticipate a lot of problems.
You know, I am a very proactive type of person, not reactive. And I knew, leading into this upcoming election, that there's going to be a lot of high emotions, because I watched the emotions in 2022 and in 2020, and no doubt we're probably going to see the same, if not more, in 2024. But my job is to ensure every citizen has the ability and hopefully votes. But Mary Lou, here's what I'm hoping is, I hope El Paso County absolutely breaks the record. I'm hoping for an 88% or more voter turnout. This is an opportunity for everybody to get out there, let their voice be heard. There's folks that will sit there and say, yeah, you know what, my one vote doesn't matter. But it actually does. Is if we look in our history books, Thomas Jefferson would not have been our president. He only won the House by one vote.
One vote?
One vote. So that is how much that one vote means. And to me, is I feel El Paso County can absolutely cream the past record, and we can get to 88, 90% turnout.
Well, as I told you previously, you certainly lent a sense of security to me. Not that I felt insecure previously voting in El Paso County, but the things that have been in the news, and know that there are forces that can impact. I'm sorry, my voice is a little scratchy here. So I commend you for proactive approach to the voting. I mean, citizens deserve that.
Yep.
And you have really stepped up to the plate. Is there anything else that you would like citizens to know? For instance, do you have a telephone number if someone wants to call you?
Absolutely. And Mary Lou, thank you for that. So my direct number is 719-520-7306. So that is the number to my desk, but I always do this as well. My cell number, so if anybody wants to text or call, So my cell number is 719-502-1534. Yeah. So Mary Lou is, you know, if nobody wants to sit there and call me on the phone or text me on the phone, they can go to my website as well, which if you go to elpasoco.com, you'll see the links up there to Clerk and Recorder and also elections. And my work email is there so you can get in contact with me. But there's a lot of information that's out there to include all of the new things, projects that we have incorporated for this particular election.
Great. Thank you. And I encourage listeners to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, in Mary Lou, a lot of folks take opportunities of that because they want to know about some misinformation. Like, can anybody hack our voting system? Here in El Paso County, Mary Lou, absolutely not. And I will basically sum that up. There's several things that come across to me every day. Folks are like, what about the internet? Well, here in El Paso County, our system does not have network interface cards. It does not have ISPs, does not have modems. They basically are tabulation machines. With that being said, in addition, we know every central processing unit computer has ports. Every one of our ports have port locks, and also the system is locked down in its own single cage where only one person in the office has a lock, and it's not Steve Schleicher.
So there'll be no accusations of
Absolutely not. Of
hiding ballots or anything like that?
Not at all.
Well, I'm proud of you. You're doing a fabulous job so far as I can tell. Thank you for being here with us today. And those people who are listening now, you have all the tools you need to find out more if you have more questions or to re-listen to this podcast because it's a ton of information here. So, Steve, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate you here today, and I appreciate the work that you're doing.
And you as well. And Mary Lou, it's good to see you and miss you as mayor and stuff. So thank you. So
thank you.
Definitely.
I must admit, I miss those comments sometimes.
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope you found as much value in Steve's comments as I have. You know, the county clerk is not the highest profile job in the county. It is an elected position, and he has a great deal of responsibility. But I really thank him for taking time to speak to the podcast, and thank him and all his volunteers that he has to make sure that the election runs smoothly, and his staff. So what we're going to do next, the next podcast, will feature some of the women who are running for office in our community. So once again, thank you, and we'll see you the next time, or maybe we'll talk the next time. For more information, check out our show notes. If you're interested in learning more about Pikes Peak Women, visit us on Facebook. Until our next episode, I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace. Thanks for listening to Elevating Pikes Peak Women. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if so, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts or share with your friends on social media or in person.